Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The opening words of the introit for Oculi Sunday bid us to think about our eyes. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. As men and women who are familiar with the Holy Scriptures, you know how frequently our eyes and their functions are employed as figures of speech or analogies in the sacred scriptures as a way of God teaching us something about ourselves and our relationship to Him. You think, for example, how frequently the eye and its posture becomes a symbol of some aspect of human behavior. The eye that looks backward, for example, as in the case of Lot's wife, was a cause of shame and great remorse and even of God's judgment. And I suppose we could carry that particular posture of the human eye forward into our own day by observing that those of us who look back frequently miss something of both the present and the challenge of the future. Or there is the eye that is downcast, that looks downward, a symbol of depression or despair or sorrow. Sacred writers of old who recognized in the downward glance of the human eye something of the typical human emotion that is downcast, has no worth, and sometimes is close to despair. And that too is a posture with which you and I can identify. For there is the eye that looks upward, a symbol, I suppose, of the human animal in the posture of supplication and prayer. And so for us Christians, as for the ancient people of God, when our eyes are cast upward, we are expressing our own worthlessness. We're expressing the fact that we are recipients, that God is the giver, that there is, after all, hope, but hope is from above. And then there is the eye that looks forward, the eye that is fastened on the goal, on the outcome of the race in which God has placed us. And that posture of the human eye becomes a symbol of hope, of determination, of commitment, of a forward-looking person or a forward-looking people of God. The eye also figures in other ways in the sacred scriptures and as symbol of our relationship to God. And we're going to focus particularly on two other relationships of the eye as ways of seeing how God so frequently preaches both His law and His gospel to ancient Israel, as is the case in Isaiah 42, or to us today. For the eye and its lack of vision, the blindness of mankind, is a frequent figure of speech in the scriptures, and a way in which God so often laid upon His ancient people their sins and shortcomings, their failure to have a proper relationship to Him. Just as the eye and the light that God gives to the eye becomes a symbol of His grace. So we this morning in the week of Oculi Sunday, as we pray together, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord," can profit from the word of God in Isaiah chapter 42 to hear both God's word of law upon our lack of vision and His word of gospel as He assures us that He has promised, yes, has bestowed light upon our darkness. Let's listen particularly to those words of law first in Isaiah chapter 42, where God, through His chosen servant, says this to His people: "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or as blind as the servant of the Lord?" And then this stinging judgment: "He sees many things, but does not observe them." You notice in this particular use of vision as Isaiah's way of getting through to his people, he is not, in so many words, saying that the children of Israel were blind. He's not calling attention to the abject darkness that is ours as it was theirs by virtue of our sin and separation from God. But he is rather calling attention to another phenomenon in God's people and in us. He sees many things but does not observe them. Or the even stronger lament in these words, namely that it's God's people, God's servant, God's special messenger, who is here the victim of not doing that which God has created him to do, namely observing as well as seeing. We could all, I suppose, add paragraph upon paragraph in observing how true this was of ancient Israel, or how true it has been of God's people throughout the ages of the church. They see many things, but do not observe them. And we too would add our own confession upon that, that we as God's servants in a special sense, God's messengers in a special way, all too often have ears that are open but do not hear, eyes that see but do not observe. You have your examples, and I have mine, to which we must all plead before this word of law from God through his chosen prophet, that even you and I, who are God's chosen servants in a special sense, to bear his word to the nations, we too look but do not observe. We daily walk in, are flooded by, the evidences of God's goodness and grace in his word that comes to us without ceasing. And yet we do not take it all in. Eyes that see but do not observe. And if that were all that God had to say to us, it would be a tragic last word. Let us therefore never be so blind, never be so smitten with our own inability to observe that which God wants us to, that we fail to see and observe that which is most important of all in his revelation, in his law, as the word is used in Isaiah 42, namely that those words of indictment and judgment are never God's last word. He never stops by indicting our blindness or our failure to see. Listen to how he picked the ancient people of Israel up with the same figure of speech. I will lead the blind in a way that they know not. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I will do, and I will not forsake them. What marvelous words those are, not only for ancient Israel, but for you and for me, for us who see but don't observe, for us who insist that we would rather walk in darkness than in the newness of life and light. God says to us today, particularly today in this holy Lenten season, as we remember and observe again the journey of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the cross, for our sins, for our life, for our hope, for our future. He says to us, I will lead the blind in a way in which they know not. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. Is your pathway dark this morning? Do you feel more evidence of darkness than light? Is your blindness more apparent to you than your sight? Well, then hear this word from the Lord. Hear it and see it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked that path for you, who died your death for you, who rose to newness of life in the resurrection from the dead on the third day for you and me and all men, for this life and the life which is to come, in an act that surpasses all understanding, an act that sheds light upon our dark path. in an action that allows our deaf ears to hear and our poorly visioned eyes to see the goodness of our God, to hope in His hope, to know that He does not forsake us. I will not forsake them. And if you want to read more of these beautiful and tasteful promises of God given to you through the vision of the eye, read on in your private devotions this day and this week in this section of Isaiah. What marvelous gospel passages there are. Chapter 43, just a few verses later, verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And so it is, brothers and sisters. He has redeemed you and me. He has called us by our name in the waters of holy baptism, and daily and richly gives us life and hope and promise and power through our eyes, eyes that see Him. And so with that knowledge and that confidence, may this week of Oculi, third Sunday in Lent, be words, may be a time when the words of the intro it become a light unto our path. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Amen.
March 15th, Chapel Speaker Unknown.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to the empowering seed of your word. Plant it deeply there so that we may realize personally what you have done for us and rejoice and praise you not only with our words but with our lives. Draw us closer to the cross of Jesus Christ and His blood shed there for us. And this we ask in His precious name. Amen.